You're a successful business owner or entrepreneur. You love it, but it consumes your entire day and sometimes your entire night.
This is the Seven Figure Builder Show.
It's a backstage pass to the minds of those who've already cracked the code.
Welcome to the Seven Figure Builder Show. And now your host, Julie Baranek.
Well, hey, Seven Figure Builder family. This is Julie Baranek, and I'm here with my friend, Joey Lowry. Hey, Joey.
What's up? How are you?
I'm fabulous. So where in the world are you?
Oh, man. I am in the sunny state of Florida in St. Pete. So
awesome. That is gorgeous area. I love that. I love that area. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's definitely fun. It's one of those spots where I feel like St. Pete's like a little movie set town where it's so small, but yet there's just so much going on. And like just, you know, just this weekend, it was just really cool. There's tons of activity outside. They had, I think, a little boat show and just like fun stuff. It's a little small town. So,
yeah, I love the rotating restaurant. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Awesome. So you do all things amazing in ad world, AI world, tech world, SEO. But tell us a bit about your business.
Yeah, it's diverse. We'll call it that. I started this company, Media Shark, about five now. And basically, I was working at this artist company. I won't obviously name who they were, but basically working for them, we would basically sell ads to businesses, things like that, kind of a digital marketing agency and a kind of a plug-in for a lot of agencies to resell as well. And so I'd sell, let's say, programmatic ads or, you know, things like that, anything on the paid side. And more or less, I was just losing clients left and right. And from our standpoint, we weren't allowed to be inside the ad, you know, campaigns and things like that. We were really just the forward salesperson, the car lot guy, we'll call it, and front facing to the customer. And so basically, I was losing these clients left and right. And then, you know, finally, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put on this red cape. At least that's what I thought in my mind, red cape, and I'll dive into the problem and I'll, you know, present this to the owners that, you know, hey, here's a solution to our problems, more or less. And basically, at a conference about 2 years into my job, and I like to say this issue started about 5 months prior to my termination, but I was actually at a conference in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I brought it up one night, with some helps of some liquid courage, we'll call it, to upper management. And the company's not big by any means. You know, we're probably, like I said, 40, 50 employees. So it's very tight niche, especially for the producers. And more or less, I was let go on the spot the next day. So I can't say I was right or wrong, but I do got a feeling that I was onto something, we'll call it. But yeah, and so I was so pissed off about getting let go. And I decided I was going to name my company after an animal that could eat their animal, which was kind of petty, but it was funny. Media Shark. And it started off kind of as a joke a little bit. I really wasn't sure what I was doing. And but say within a year, ended up landing Sprint and Boost Mobile as a client. We did well over seven figures our first year, and it kind of took off. And then next thing you know, I found myself becoming a business owner and doing all things digital marketing now.
That's amazing. And one heck of a journey. So,
yeah, there's a lot of those ups and downs and some crying and happy moments for sure.
For sure. For sure. So what was that? I'm going to say maturity, for lack of a better term, but like going from square zero, right, to seven figures very quickly. What was that journey like for you?
I think it was really more of a mental one, honestly. I think what it really boiled down to was mindset. And so, you know, determining that, you know, being let go was one thing, you know, and, you know, realizing that the bridge was burnt and there was only one way forward. I could have went and worked at a different job, I suppose. Right. But really, I was like, I'm going to commit to this. You know, it really was systems and processes, and then waking up just every day being hungry. And then I feel like it's such a diluted situation, or diluted, analogy with this idea that, you know, hey, I'm just going to wake up hungry, I'm going to just go get it. But the truth is, it really was that, you know, it was really kind of that starve or, you know, thrive situation. And, you know, getting back to the system of processes of knowing, hey, I got to make X amount of calls, X amount of emails, and, you know, set X amount of appointments to get that X, you know, production goal committed and done. And it, you know, it worked out in the end, we'll call it.
Yeah. Well, when your back's against the wall and you don't feel like you have any other options, you're willing to commit to the grind, right? Like it's doing those things over and over again, and it's not glamorous necessarily, right?
No, and I think that's the one thing that, you know, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and things like that. And a lot of them, you know, with our conversations are always like, you know, I can't get past this next thing, or, you know, we really want to hit X income. And it's like, man, if you really just broke down the numbers, you know, and found the formula for your success, if you want to call it, what your close rate is from a pickup to a phone, to an appointment, to an actual sale, you know, you could, you know, just by the, we call it the algorithm itself, figure out exactly how to do what you need to do, whether it's production, goals, ROI, things like that.
Yeah. So, well, it's reverse engineering just based off of math, right? You want this, you got to do this to get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how did your team grow through that? Like, you started with just you, and then what did you need in that journey?
Yeah. So that was actually probably one of the, say, the harder elements, I think, of the maturing process. Even though I feel like I'm an infant still when it comes to the business world, but you know, it started off with the one situation of, you know, I need to bring on at least somebody so I can have less of a headache, you know? And then next thing you know, it was, okay, I got to devote my time now to training them. Not everybody comes fully trained. And so at the same time, you know, we actually got back into going to digital summit shows, things like that. And so, you know, now I'm having a team that I'm traveling with. I'm learning the situations of Airbnbs to then hotels, because, you know, obviously we have different genders and things like that, and trying to play the role of a parent at the same time. You know, but it was just one of those things where it's just like, it's very interesting when you start from yourself and you just know you can rely on yourself. And when you mess up, you know, you know what the standard should be versus holding somebody else there too, and then expecting them to, you know, grow and things like that. So it's definitely been a roller coaster. And man, I believe now more than anything, it's, you know, you hire slow and you fire fast. Yeah. And I learned that the hard way, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And you focus on a lot of filling the funnel, right? Like, you have ads, you have SEO, you have a bunch of different things. But how have you found that everything that catches it plays into it? Like, I'm big on relationship-based lead gen, but you need, you know, something solid to catch it, right? Otherwise, you don't really get the impact.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the human element's always going to be there in the marketing world. And I think we forget about that a lot. You know, I think we're over here like, hey, how do I do AI? How do I do SEO better? Make Google happier, call it the demigods of the internet with Zuck and, you know, whoever, and Elon. But, you know, the truth is, it's one of those things where it's an evolution, you know, as a business. And it's like, you know, you really got to double down on your marketing, but at the same time, make sure that that human element's in place. I know one of the mistakes we had was once I took a step back and, you know, got away from the phones and the front to front selling and allowed somebody else to come in, because I was managing, you know, now a team, it turned into, man, they can't close as well. No matter how many leads we're driving, you know, how many more appointments I'm setting, or the team is, you know, if that forward facing human, or that relationship person, is, or it's elements not there, you know, it's almost like it doesn't matter how much you pour into the middle of that funnel. Yeah.
And to that human element, like, we see a huge shift in AI, right? So what have you seen that play out, and what do you see ahead of us?
Yeah, I think there's two parts of that question, in a sense of, like, you know, what we think is going to happen and probably what is realistically going to happen. You know, I think everybody thought, you know, with AI coming out, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's a lot of this stuff I don't quite even understand when it comes to what AI could be and do, but it still is based around, you know, the aspect of a human coder, you know, a human's designing this thing. But I think we now are starting to throw it around for anything now that's automated. It's like, oh, it's used AI. And, you know, so in the marketing world, it's been interesting because you've seen now content, you know, and things like that just be rapidly produced overnight. And, you know, Google has had such an influx of all this content and stuff like that, that now it's, you know, almost de-ranking things. So that was an interesting thing that I saw was right off the bat was, okay, now I can, you know, throw up 1,000 blogs in a week using AI. But now Google, you know, sees that across, you know, hundreds of thousands of websites. Right. And so now Google's over here like, actually, we need to get better at, you know, seeing who's human and who's not. And now, you know, Google's diving into like neurolinguistics and how the language is set up and, you know, human language modeling is more important now than ever. And that's definitely was a curveball I think a lot of people didn't see with the AI aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think personally, we'll end up being more sensitive to that. Like, I think about, you know, the early robocalls that we used to get, right? And how awful they were. And now it's like, is that a person or is that not a person? You know, like, it's hard to tell. And it's gotten better over time that we have to become that much more sensitive to it.
I think that, and I think privacy is going to be an issue. You know, I think through the aspect of really what AI can and can't do, you know, is up to the imagination to a point, but I could see a lot of legal options and, you know, issues coming into play. Just because of AI, all the way, you know, again, the machine itself is based off the rules and regulations that, you know, the human, you know, applies to it. So it's the mindset of that person, or let's say the designer, whether, you know, this thing could be good or bad, more or less.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Google earlier, and the rules are always evolving, right? Like, what are you seeing with the Google changes that are coming out with email, or what are you seeing coming down the pipeline with that?
Yeah, I see Google. I mean, they've been talking about cookies forever, and then, you know, supposedly it's officially kicking into play, you know, especially with the, you know, email trackability. The one thing that I think is going to be very interesting is Google is going to shift more into an ad platform than it ever has before. So I believe it's the G or SGC or something like that. Google has a new AI format that they're going to be involved with search. And now Google's only going to show the top three organic to almost to the right, like a shopping ad at the top of Google, you know, the top three resources, as if they would, you know, like as if the three blogs were the answer. And then the rest are supposedly going to be paid ads. After a certain point, then it'll go organic again. So Google really is going to go heavy into, you know, paid side. And I think that's going to be something that's it's going to hurt and help a lot of businesses, especially the ones who understand that, you know, paid ads do drive traffic for them. They know, you know, that they are a cost effective means to, you know, produce leads or sales. But I think the people who don't, or let's say haven't been running ads, they're going to run into a harder issue when they've been leaning on that organic content so much. So, you know, Google always solves for money. And, you know, in the day, we like to say Google's there to help us as a search engine, but Google, you know, really cares about itself. And, you know, the ads that they can produce with, you know, obviously the money aspect, monetization. I just think people are going to be very shocked that if they don't start learning ads or, you know, getting involved in ads, you know, they could see a huge halt in their organic traffic, you know, in the coming year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's good to both earn your way in and buy your way in, right? To quote Russell Brunson, but like, have a multi-pronged approach where you're not relying on just one avenue.
Absolutely.
What do you see the biggest gap is with people as they're trying, say they're doing ads by themselves, right? Like, they haven't reached out to you yet, but it's not working. They haven't dialed in their dream client. Like, what is the biggest gap that you see that people have?
Yeah. I love the Russell Brunson quotes. I'm all about him. So, yeah. So I think it's not even the aspect of like offer and messaging anymore. Like, if we've gotten so home run, I won't call it knocked out of the park in a way of, hey, hook, story, offer, and I'll quote him again, you know, just this whole idea of like, hey, you're going to get something free, value, value, value. I mean, that's all you hear from Gary Vee and all these other guys. But the truth is, you know, we don't even talk about the different types of ads and formatting and options that you have to run ads on there. And you look at native ads within, you know, the Yahoo ecosystem, and, you know, you look at Yahoo, it's the number one financial website, you know, or, you know, we call it a organization in the world. So you want to target a certain type of demographic, you know, run ads on Yahoo. You know, you look at all the stuff that's involved in Oath Media, you know, Facebook, things like that. And I think a lot of people look at ads as, all right, hey, I'm running Facebook ads. It's like, okay, well, are we running different sizes? You know, are we, you know, A/B testing those things? Let alone if I'm turning on Google, it's like, okay, do you actually understand how Google works? You know, when I'm running a PPC ad, do I actually rank for this organically? And if not, am I driving traffic potentially to my competitors because I don't rank for this keyword? So therefore they can't find me once they go back and try to research. So that's really what I've seen been the issue with the ad aspect is like ads can do amazing for your business, but, you know, it's getting down to the psychology of, you know, why the ad is making somebody convert, not necessarily the message and offer, but is it, you know, the certain type of ad size and formatting on the website and the web page it's being placed on? You know, is it an actual platform issue? Is it Facebook, Google, Oath, Yahoo, things like that? Or is it, you know, TikTok? And I think we just think of like, hey, I'm running ads. It's like, okay, that's like saying, you know, I'm a chef. It's okay. Like, what do you actually know how to cook with and do?
Yeah, for sure. And are there ways that people could potentially be competing against themselves? Like, if they're trying to focus in organically in an area and then hit it with ads, or is it more is better?
No, I think yes and no. I think what we see is, you know, I'm with you on the organic side. If you can get organic, it's the best converting traffic. You know, if you're not showing up though, then you almost need to run ads to make sure you show up. But I mean, you should be doubling down organically, in my opinion. But I think I would call it almost like an over-optimization. You know, if you're sitting there competing against all these different called keywords or different targeting aspects, but you're not honing in or doubling down on the ones that actually convert, you know, I call it like, you know, this cannibalization in your ad account. Just because you're targeting in your mind all, you know, maybe the perfect person, but it's not, because the, you know, the type of ads are way too spread out. You're not honed in, and you really don't know why what ad is working based off the targeting. And so I think that's when he runs into the issue of like, should you be doing everything you can? 100%. But I almost want to, you know, play the opposite when I talk to business owners and marketers. It's, you know, it's more important to define who your customer is not than it is to worry about who they are. Because if you can really define, you know, and break down all the no's and the won'ts and the who this person isn't, you will hone in 10 times more faster than, you know, just thinking you're going to say who you like. Because Google will happily waste your money either way.
That they will. They all will.
Yep. And let's call the demigods of the internet. They're taking money no matter what.
I know, seriously. And they're doing very well with it.
Oh, they're doing great. Yeah, I wish. Yeah. In the wrong business.
I know, right? Well, as you mentioned, there's a couple different, well, more than a couple, but there's multiple places you can run ads. Do mm-hmm. you find, you know, certain ones are better for certain things, like, you know, YouTube ads versus Facebook versus Google? Like, where do you steer people with that?
Yeah, I think kind of just depends. I'm not a big Facebook fan right now. We have quite a bit of clients that are all over different types of niches, from Fortune companies to, you know, I'll call it your local lawn company. Typically our budgets are even ranging from the low end $5K a month to, you know, well into six figures. Now they're each having their own defined platform. So if I'm a small business, and the way I look at it, it's like, how localized do I need to be? And sometimes, you know, I look at people, you know, look at YouTube and they think, oh, hey, it's a great video platform to watch videos and, you know, catch your Alex Hormozi talks and whatever, you know, new thing, the 10X diet thing guys talk, or Gary Brecka is talking about. But the truth is, you know, YouTube's cost in the sense per view and the engagement is so much more absorbable and more, I don't want to use the word engaging again, but you're just getting so much more for, you know, bang for your buck when it comes to YouTube ads. And so I think YouTube has a huge opportunity. And I don't think businesses realize, like, it's not about you being in the video. It's not about your business sense of having a talk person. I mean, there's so many other options in sense of animation and other things that you could run really cost-effective YouTube ads locally and see a huge return on your investment. Where I think a lot of the problem sometimes is these small businesses or even just average businesses are thinking Facebook's where I need to be. But the problem is the audience intent while they're on Facebook is not to be shopping or desiring your product or service. So I think that's really the whole issue kind of boils down to. I like, no matter what, keeping some type of PPC ad budget running at all times, and maybe even with a small display ad with it, just to kind of complement it. But I would say right now, YouTube, any type of video opportunity content can kill it. And I think there's a huge thing right now for TikTok as well, if that fits your business model.
Hey, real quick, it's Julie. I just wanted to say thank you for listening every week. I absolutely adore you and so appreciate your time and your commitment to the show. And I truly love creating free content for you to grow your podcast and your business. And if you want to take our relationship to the next level, I know I would, or you just want to monetize your podcast without ads or sponsorship, hop into my free web class that'll show exactly how. Just go to sevenfigurepodcastbuilder.com/monetize and I will see you there. Now back to the conversation.
Absolutely. And I mean, with YouTube, you can get very specific about where you want to show up, right? Down to like a playlist or a video or, you know, somebody you're following. Like, how do you encourage people in their targeting, say for YouTube, for example, to really make sure they're showing up in the best place?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it starts with your competitor research. I think there's a great quote. It's like, you know, you're only so good as your enemies. And I think applies to our businesses too. So I think when it comes down to looking at channels, making sure that you know exactly what your competitors are running and, you know, what their messaging is. But on top of that, thinking about who's their audience. I mean, there's tons of other cool tools. Like, I believe it's TubeBuddy is one of them. And, you know, there's a couple other YouTube ad tools that you can utilize. But I think, you know, when it comes to the targeting aspect, again, going back to really defining who isn't your audience, but then also not being afraid to split test multiple videos. I think one of the biggest issues that we think, you know, especially in, you know, advertising, sometimes it's like, hey, this is the home run. This is our final script. And it's like, that couldn't be any more opposite when it comes to what we do. You know, it really just needs to be a mindset of test, test, test. And then when we win, we keep testing though. And, yeah. You know, really honing in on those variables.
Yeah, absolutely. I know oftentimes we get so emotionally attached to a script or like, oh, this is going to be it. You know, it's going to make mm-hmm. us a million, whatever. It's, you got to do multiple variations of it, multiple iterations. And just, I'm a big fan of, I always think of it as micro conversions, like looking at each individual place in that journey and see, okay, I got people there. Now what's next? What's next? What's next? And then keep optimizing it until you're like, you know, running at full steam. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's like the best thing way, like everybody talks about, I want to date my customer, you know, in a sense. really, we need to be dating your marketing. Like, you need to know why, what, and how it works exactly. Why is the customer converting in this funnel? Why do they convert better on a Wednesday than a Sunday? You know, just really questioning every little aspect to make yourself, I wouldn't call it a smarter marketer, but just, you know, more honed in. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be said just on that.
For sure. And I know you guys are in a ton of areas and your business is growing, but what do you see out ahead for you this year? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, we're doing a lot more. So, well, I'm doing a lot more speaking stuff, tours and things like that. So, yeah, you know, that's been an interesting world too, as well. It's just, there's like kind of a two different personalities to the business, in the sense of, you know, what Joey wants to do and where Joey's going with things, to, you know, Media Shark and everything like that. So I'm really trying to not step away by any means from Media Shark, but more, you know, kind of create more of a, I wouldn't call it a name for myself, but just more with the speaking side. I find it so fascinating and just passionate. I'm very passionate about it. Just the aspect of helping other businesses, because you just see this Wolf of Wall Street type mentality happening right now. And everybody's a guru. I call them a 25-year-old marriage coach. You know, they're everybody's just teaching, and, you know, the students are getting messages from all over the place, and there's not a lot of great, you know, I'd say great experienced talks going on right now. It's just, you know, keep pushing through, make more money, double down. And, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration. So, you know, kind of make more waves in that world, I think, right now. But, and I think for us, you know, obviously just keep on growing on the Media Shark side.
For sure. And that's a lot of your branding. I mean, just your speaking opportunities, like you mentioned, it's kind of two-sided, but they all ultimately play together as far as getting more visibility and more opportunities, and they just compound from there.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely interesting. As a business side, it was cool in the first couple of times where I actually got to speak on stage at like a digital summit or another event. And I will say it's such a different world of, you know, being on stage in front of people than, you know, just talking like this one-on-one. And that took a lot of, let's call it, learning curves there, because it's definitely a whole different feeling, you know, all the way from the, you know, the actual delivery of everything to, you know, just, you know, getting back to the business aspect.
Absolutely. And I'm a big fan of in-person things. Like before the show, we were talking about in-person events, and just the human connection that you get with people, I think, is priceless. So I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing too, that I love about, you know, what we do in the marketing world, you know, even from consulting and teaching and education. It says, like, when you look at another business owner, and, you know, there's one person in particular I met when I was in Texas speaking, you know, I'm meeting them, and, you know, I know their brand, I've seen their brand, but they're sitting there talking to me, and you can just see the passion in their eyes about, you know, this is, you know, their baby, this business, you know, this is their hard earned money. This is their money they're putting into it. And, you know, what they're asking you is being, you know, it's very vulnerable, because, again, this is their livelihood. And so when they're asking advice and things like that, and that's where it gets so, you know, unique in this job, because you can get very passionate about that, because you get to see people's lives and businesses change based off of, you know, what you're doing. Or worst case scenario, you know, you've seen the catastrophic issues because they took a different route than they should have, or they're coming to you because their business is failing, you know.
So a thought on that, you have the luxury of being able to pour gasoline onto somebody's business, right? Through ads and all the things you're doing. What do you see, or what have you seen, where people either have systems or things that can't handle the volume and it ends up breaking, you know, after you pour gasoline on it?
Yeah, so that's a great one. The issue that I think a lot of businesses really don't understand is websites optimization. Like, you can pour as much traffic as you want, but if you don't have the sales process set in place, you know, we've seen that a ton of times where, you know, obviously ClickFunnels is blowing up, go high level because of the layout, more or less. You know, you have a funnel system. Now, what I've seen on the website standpoint is, you know, we've seen huge websites, but they don't, it's called convert very well. And so that's one of those things where, like, sometimes I think business owners, marketers, consultants are saying, hey, double down on your budget, you know, put another 10 grand, put another 100K down, you know, on Facebook ads, Google ads, things like that. And it's like, this isn't an ad problem. This is a website conversion problem. Just because we're driving 500 to 1,000 more people, sure, on a percentage side, you're going to get more conversions because there is, I mean, obviously someone's buying something, but can we take that conversion of 2 to 3% to 13%, right, you know, through some small changes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, for sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, that's where I think these businesses, you know, from the mom and pop all the way to the, you know, Fortune 500 companies sometimes, you know, it's just, and again, the audience and who they target, you know, on that spectrum could be widely different, obviously. But man, it's just the converting aspect of, you know, if the, when people land on my website, do they find what they know and need and basically want to, you know, acquire, get whatever immediately? And if not, then how do we fix that? You know, and it even gets down to the, you know, colors on the pages and things like that, that perform better than others. And that's just one of those things where it's like, you could spend, you know, I mean, you could pay agencies tens of thousands of dollars to come in and make the most aesthetic pleasing website. And it might be beautiful, but it's just shit on conversions. And I think that's where, you know, we see a huge issue right now in the business world is they're throwing money at something. I call it highway marketing, just driving down, throwing money at it. And they don't realize that it's not, you know, the ads, it's their house, it's their website that actually is the issue.
Yeah. And that's where it's so important to work with an expert, right? That can give you that insight. Cause you know, if people go to your website and so often they have no idea what you want them to do. Like you need to make it blatantly obvious because you have this much of their attention span before they bounce and you can pour as much gasoline as you want on it. And they're all going to bounce if they don't know what you want them to do.
Yeah. And that's a hard part too, I think, you know, from a business standpoint. And what I really like about podcasting and, you know, being in person is, you know, we can be vulnerable. We can say things, you know, it doesn't have to be one of those things where it's like, I call it the sales pitch, where it's like, oh, this perfect ad world where you get these perfect ads, get the perfect customer situation. You know, you can be vulnerable and actually talk about some of the issues. And I think that's one of those things that businesses aren't being told. It's, you know, you come to, let's say you go to Media Shark and you talk to myself or one of the team members and it's like, hey, you know, we want to spend $20K a month. It's like, okay, great. Well, let's take a step back though. Like, you know, what's your actual system look like? You know, how's your current conversions going? You know, does the website look good? Versus, I think there's so many marketing agencies and consultants that are just like, oh, you have 20K? Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Please
sold,
come
done. Yeah.
Sold. Yes. Oh, you have a website too? Oh, didn't even know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and that's what really good partners do is they say no or wait or hey, have you thought about? And I come from a consulting world, so that's just where my brain goes. But if your partners aren't doing that, or challenging you on what is it that you're actually trying to accomplish? Yeah, we can do all this busy work, but is it actually going to get you there? You know, I think you got to stop and ask yourself some questions.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's coming back to the, you know, reason I got let go was because of that. Yeah. You know,
right question, unfortunately.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You know, and the reason, and I also saw the reason the other guys and girls weren't asking those questions was, and I was definitely one of the younger ones on the team for sure. But, you know, we were making 25, maybe 30K a month, you know, and a lot of the guys and girls were married and had kids. And I'm, you know, I joke as single Joe over here. And I didn't know what was right or wrong in the sense of like, you know, or like, I didn't know why they were ignoring certain things, but obviously they had their safety and their things, you know, this was their career. You know, for me over here, I was just like, hey, how do I save my clients? But I really have taken that feeling and, you know, let's call it that empowerment of wanting to make sure that everything's, you know, done correctly, really into this world, at least from our standpoint with the people we work with. But another huge issue that I see too is this white labeling that's been going on. I mean, you'd be shocked by how many agencies that contact us wanting us to basically, you know, be their fulfillment side, not and their customers have no idea that we're running their ads, which is fine. You know, I get that's how the business world works, you know, but I think a lot of businesses don't realize that they got management fee on management fee on management fee all being built into this system. And they think they're working directly with this agency. Yeah. But really there's four or five brother sister agencies behind them doing all the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, it just compounds the fees that you're spending because you're paying many layers of people, which adds up really, really fast.
Yeah. Or you see that in the retainer fees all the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. And you've accomplished amazing things in your business, but what does success look like for you?
You know, I don't really know, honestly. I know that sounds such a bad answer. You know, I can say what it doesn't look like. You know, I really enjoy the aspect of the freedom of what, you know, this business has allowed me to do. Don't get me wrong. I feel like you're, as a business owner, you're chained to the business too. I don't want to give that aspect of like, oh, it's just, you know, whatever. But, you know, but honestly, I think for myself, it's just being able to accomplish more. I think for personally, traveling is one of those things I just love, experiences. But, you know, seeing us hit different levels, not necessarily revenue based, but just more in the award aspect or speaking gigs that I'm landing. You know, I think that was a big step for me was going from no speaking to, you know, being on a 16 city tour last year. And then, you know, now getting on these one off opportunities, you know, here and there. And I think that's going to be a big one for me. And the business wise, it's kind of hard to say, you know, just because it's like you could get an award or you do certain things. It's like, are you happy in what you're doing? And I can say that's kind of where, you know, I think I guess I call the line of, you know, success is just that right now I feel successful because I'm very happy in this whole world of what we're doing. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And if it is it fulfilling or not for you, I mean, you can do a ton of busy work, but you can just be spinning your wheels in the end too.
Yeah. And actually, and I guess let me say this, I love building little small businesses. So like building a website, testing a theory, you know, business I have no business really being in, whether it's a solar company, roofing to pet CBD, like just the aspect of like building a website, finding out how to get organically ranked. I have a lot of fun in that. That's something I really enjoy just because it's, you're testing your own theories versus having businesses, you know, that you're trying to give advice to. And you're like, oh, I know you guys could do this so much better and differently if you were to take it this route. So that's something I really enjoy on the side. So I'll call that one of my success areas that I enjoy.
I love that. I know we tend as entrepreneurs, we tend to be problem solvers. Like we want to take something and just figure it out and make it work and, you know, really see it sing, which is really cool.
Yep. That or put our hands in too many cookie jars, we'll call it. So
yeah, there's that too.
just a little bit.
All right. So if you had the attention of the whole world for 5 minutes, what would you tell them?
I'd say like, if you know, if you're in your head, you're dead. And I think that's one of the big things that I've learned and I've seen, you know, from marketing to entrepreneurialism to my personal life, you know, and just the success we've had in a very short timeline, just from the aspect of overthinking everything, you know, getting in your head and not making the moves, you know, and being afraid to take the step, you know, especially in the personal side, you know, quitting the job or, you know, being fired or taking the leap to, you know, start your own business. You know, the more time you spend in your head, you know, the more you're dead and the less actions you take. And, you know, when it comes down to that, there's only really one or two options that you're ever doing. It's going up or down. And if you ever think you're maintaining, you're just decreasing at a rate that you just don't see it. So, you know, really get out of your head, you know, and stop being dead.
Love that. That's kind of like analysis paralysis, right? Like we just think things through and you just can't make a move.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you see it all the time. You know, it's the aspect of, you know, and I think sometimes even in businesses, we just don't see it because there's just 90 other things going on. You know, I was just working on something personally for our business this morning. And I, of course, I had two client calls come back to back and one was kind of an emergency. So I derailed everything and I'm like, shoot, I got to get back and finish, you know, that original task. And, you know, staying organized is also its own paralysis, we'll call it.
For sure. So where can people find you online? You know, people that are hearing this, they would love to work with you. Where can they find you?
Yeah. So you can hit me up at gomediashark.com. We just redid our website there. Or, you know, personally, if you're more of a, you know, intimate or personal questions, things like that, I'm that marketing guy on Instagram. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we will have all that in the show notes so people can come check you out. And thank you, Joey, for being on today. This has been awesome.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Of course. And if you found value in this episode, please do share it. That's how people find us. And you can find me at sevenfigurebuilder.com. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the 7-Figure Builder Show with Julie Baranek.
Julie cut her teeth consulting for Fortune 500 companies worldwide. And now she's redirected that knowledge and power to support entrepreneurs like you. She focuses on relationship-based lead generation and the magic of podcasting. If you're looking to elevate your business through storytelling, branding, and efficient systems, well, you found your new home.
It's what we do.
If you enjoyed the show and got something from it, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at 7figurebuilder. Find the website at 7figurebuilder.com. And to learn how to automate your podcast with Julie, find that site at 7figurepodcastbuilder.com. See you next time on the 7-Figure Builder Show.